Blog Talk Radio.
Charmaine Show. This is your host, Charmaine, on Blog Talk Radio, coming to you on this gorgeous spring-like, summer-feeling morning. Very excited today because as we are in the middle of a world health crisis, which has just blown up into more than just a physical health crisis, but a financial crisis, a mental health crisis, and a parenting crisis, just everything that's happening right now. So it is on my heart and something dear to me as a work-life balance expert. We talk about us as adults, balance in work, life, family, home, and there's this piece of that balance that we tend to overlook in so many areas, and that is, how am I going to parent during this pandemic? So again, I am your host, Charmaine. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio on The Charmaine Show as I discuss parenting and this pandemic. First off, let me just say, as a mother of three boys, teenagers, and young adult, two off to college, one still at home with my husband and I have found just how critical it is to stay connected, your children, during this time. And regardless of whether you have older children or younger children or a mix, male, female, a mixture of age range, whatever it looks like in your home or the young people that you're tasked to take care of, we as caregivers, because that's what we are as parents, have to really take a step back and listen more, right? So I'm going to talk about parenting during the pandemic, but I also want to place an emphasis on listening to what's going on with your children emotionally, listening with your eyes, what's changing in their behavior, in their environment, listening with your ear, but most of all, listening with your presence. As a mom, I recently, just last few months, I have found that, you know, with an entire shift this past 12 months, with my oldest coming home from New York to be here and finishing school during the pandemic, my second, aka middle son, finishing school, high school, and graduating, not the typical graduation ceremony during the pandemic, and then my youngest son going through so much with just knowing that, you know, college has started, his brother's going off, who's his best friend, and there's just such a shift. There's a shift with me, my husband, my children, and everyone being home, literally an emotional shift, a physical shift, because we had to really remake spaces in the house. Really, there's enough space, what, 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms, but just making sure everybody had their own dedicated space to sleep, their own dedicated space to do their work, their office space, whatever that looks like. And everyone was on a different schedule on different levels. So I found that there was a major shift. And also earlier this year in January, when my middle son decided he's going to be going off to campus and finishing out the first year of school. This is all during this COVID-19 pandemic. Now, when I say parenting during the pandemic, if you have younger children, yeah, you're going to do it a little bit differently. And if you have older children, you're going to do it a little bit differently. But what must remain consistent is that we step back and we listen and we talk. Because during this time, it's so critical for us to talk. The fear, the uncertainty, being holed up at home, a lot of children and young adults are back and forth to, are we doing online school? Are we going into the classroom? The things that are impacting health that have been impacted in the classroom, whether a teacher got sick or a student got sick or there's exposure, you know, are we going to close this classroom? What are we doing with the school buses? Different things like that. So all these things that we are so accustomed to, the natural flow of things with our children, just especially in terms of their daily routine, all that changes from day to day. As I'm actually doing the show today, my youngest, who's the only one at home right now, high schooler, there's no school. It's a school holiday, a built-in weather type day. And so, but even though he's gone back to school at the beginning of the year, we've had to make sure now that his brother isn't, you know, driving him to school anymore, we have to make sure that our schedule is such that, or there's a ride organized for him, that the exposure is limited, right? Because there's a lot of fear, certainty of being holed up at home, right? And this can make it tough on families, because while your son or daughter of a younger school age may be home and not able to be home by themselves, this impacts the parents. And when the parents are feeling stressed and how am I going to handle this, it impacts the child. So it's important to keep your child safe and having a healthy routine and manage their emotions and behaviors, or teach them, show them, talk to them how to manage their emotions and behaviors. By doing that, as adults, we have to, number one, take that personal responsibility. Let me sip on some coffee. Should be water, but hey. This is what happens when you go live. Responsibility to help them to manage that. But first we have to manage our own, right? Children are relying on us as adults. I feel like a new talk show because my voice just changed. There's a little ear hole in there. Children need to rely on their parents for both that physical and emotional safety. And if you're off, then they're going to feel a little bit unsafe. I'm going to take a quick intermission commercial break and just get some music on and grab some water real quick. Well, that would be a Plates commercial here where I would plug my book on work-life balance, but I won't do that. I'm going to pick up and continue. That was nice to just get a little sip of water. Sometimes coffee doesn't really do the trick, especially if it's nice and creamy. It doesn't do the trick to clear that little gulp that you got. But relying on us for that physical and emotional safety. And if children are to feel safe, we can't lash out at them emotionally or physically. We have to reassure our children that we're there for them. That's very critical, because being there for your child is what a child needs the most. I had the privilege and the parenting opportunity to have a talk with one of my sons the other day, and one thing that came up resonated so much with me was, but all I really needed was my mom. And this is all children need. You think you're busy with them, doing the things you think that they are loving or liking, et cetera. And all they really need is for you to be there. And just this morning before the show, I was speaking with a girlfriend of mine, and I was talking about some, you know, just some personal things and some of my aha moments lately with some self-reflection and giving that my children that allowance, that space, that opportunity, the window, the permission to just be open. Let's check in here now. That now that you're grown and, you know, young adults and you're living your lives and you're going through this as well, let's check in. How are you doing? And this morning, as I was talking with my girlfriend, one of the things that I mentioned was I recognize in a deeper, more intentional way now what presence really means. It's not just I'm here physically or I'm talking to you or you're talking to me and we're, you know, doing things together. It is more than that. It's an energy, and you can feel that. You can know it. You can be in the same place with a person, and if you're not 100% in tune with your own self, you're going to be distracted, and that energy is going to be so obvious. So as we're parenting through this pandemic, presence is important. You have to clear yourself and your space emotionally, mentally, and even physically, so that our children will feel successful. They'll feel like you're hearing them. I think the recurring theme through life for all of us, regardless of whether you're one or 100, and the space in between that is, do you hear me? Can you see me? And if I remember and think about that with my children and the people around me that I love, is that most of our fear and anger and our emotions come from that. And in order to recognize that and to say, yes, I see you, yes, I hear you, you're important to me, then in that space, that's where you've got to be 100% present. The other thing I want to touch on is to recognize with our children, number one, of course, after recognizing their feelings, right, understanding what they're going through, listening, don't say a word as they're talking. And one of the things that I find that is so invaluable to not say a word when they're talking is to know that this is their time. You're just the open door for everything to come flooding in. But more importantly than asking, how are you doing? Because I thought about this morning, is when you ask someone, how are they doing? The natural, you know, the pat answer, it's all packaged already. I'm doing well, all is well, we're fine, I'm fine. And it's almost like a natural knee-jerk reaction. It's not really how am I really doing. What I find for myself when I check in, it's the question that garners the most out of me personally when I'm self-reflecting and checking in is, what am I feeling? What am I feeling? And I will sit with that and ask that and then start to get it all coming, flooding up to the surface. What am I feeling? What am I feeling? And so with our children, we need to calmly ask them, what are you feeling? What are you feeling? Because they'll start to tell you a bunch of things without saying the word. You know, we're not trying to capture a word here, because what someone feels, if I say I feel happy, sad, I feel love, I feel down, it means something different. But if I start to explain and express what I'm feeling, then that makes a world of a difference. I know on a previous show, as I was talking about work-life balance, I talked about keeping in touch with loved ones. And I talked about social media and connecting. With our children, they worry about parents, grandparents, loved ones, friends, relatives, the risk of COVID. They're talking about it at school. The kids know about it. We're talking about it at home. The news is on. There's an awareness of what exactly is going on. What is not more prevalent is, are we encouraging as parents our children to reach out, And also, are we helping them to foster healthy relationships with their friends at school, with, you know, people that they're close to? It's so important during this time that children have best friends that become a sounding board. I am 100% plus more times infinity in complete favor of talk therapy. It's, I mean, you, can I say more? Can I say anything more about talk therapy? Cognitive therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, talk therapy, it boils down to this. Find somebody to talk to. Get a sounding board. And this is where our children's friends come in. Sometimes they may not be as open with us. We don't speak their language, or we're not listening, or we're listening to our own thoughts and minds and the things that we're also dealing with and working through, that it's so important that your children and you also know that, you know what, they've got great friends, that they're talking to each other. They're talking about what's going on out there, but most of all, they're talking about how they're feeling, what's going on with them. I find that is so important. I know I love it when my sons, they get together all the time with their friends, safely, of course, but they're always in communication, right? And when I say that, it's not a yapping during the day or distracted, mindful chit-chatter. It is, hey, I'm going to pick you up just last night at 9 o'clock, get ready to wind down for bed, watching my movie. And my son's like, oh, I'm going out. I'm like, oh, it's too late. But then I listened. He was going out with his best friend, Sadie. She picks him up. They go over to the Sonic about 5-7 minutes away from here, and they order a Slurpee, Slushy, whatever it is they feel like having, and they just sit in the Sonic drive-thru, and they just talk, or wherever else they might end up going. But it's a normal, regular thing. At least 3 to 4 days a week, Sadie and Nathaniel are hanging out, you know, spending time together, and they're brilliant, brilliant kids. They talk about such amazing things. So I get to get a debrief when he comes home or the next morning, either when I'm taking him to school or checking, hey, how was your time with Sadie? What'd you guys talk about? So that is also a really great avenue. So allow your kids that, because then they'll give you the secondhand piece of it. So you're still connecting with them to know what they're feeling, what's going on with them, and the things that they're dealing with, right? And so you can come back also with a different voice if they ask you, or some kind of different kind of input or way of looking at something if it's something that bothers them. But we don't have to be problem solvers. We just have to know that our children have a way of expressing themselves, and they always feel safe. They got to feel safe with you, but you're not their only. You cannot be. In fact, I think it's unhealthy if, as parents, we are our child's only avenue of expression. They're not your age. They're you're from a different world. They're learning and growing. They're their own individuals. They relate differently, and so that's also really important that you recognize that we can't cower our children with fear, and we can't block them in, and we can't be the end all and be all. I personally don't think that's healthy. So creating healthy routines is the next thing I want to talk about. So if you've got younger children or older, especially if they're, you know, school-age kids up to high school, Even college students, you're not there with them. You may not be there with them, but you have to share these healthy routines with them. If it's something that you hadn't all these years helped to create with them. So maintaining a regular bedtime routine, let me just say that is not just for children. This is for a lot of us adults. I will go and say, in this instance, I'm going to say for a lot of you adults who don't create a set bedtime schedule and a routine for getting enough rest and sleep. Because if you're going to deal with stress of parenting, family, work, life, balance, relationships, financial stuff, being, you know, separated from loved ones, emotional turmoil, whatever it is, if you're not getting enough rest, then these things are just going to be exacerbated. So make sure that while you're preaching it to the children, that you're actually setting the example. And that's the thing that comes out, that your children are going to do what you do in a lot of ways. You know, you could create some boundaries and explain some things, but if it's good enough for you, it should be good enough for them. So because our children do benefit from routines that are predictable yet flexible enough to meet their individual needs. So you'll set some boundaries and parameters, but you can push those boundaries a little bit. You can shift them. You can move them over here and over there, but at least you have some semblance of a routine. I mean, your routine could be whatever it is. It's a structured routine, and it's structured for you. It could be all over the place, but that's your routine. You know, I do this at 7, I do this at 8. Personally, I like, and I always say I'm self-diagnosed ADD, but I just call it more of a creative being, and I am able to multitask, and I can get 8 major things accomplished during the day. I can check off my checklist of 10 things within 30 minutes and get so much accomplished. So it's a benefit, right? So don't think that, oh, my kids are scatterbrained, or they've got this here, they've got this there. Create a routine, but structure doesn't mean rigidity, right? Routine doesn't mean that it has to be rigid. It just has to be, for example, for myself, I need a transition into something else. Every 2 hours, there's something else that I plan, and that's going on, right? So it's either a transition break into what else do I need to get accomplished today. And that 2 hours could be I need a 2-hour movie time. That 2 hours could be I'm going to take a 2-hour lunchtime or afternoon break or whatever if I am not in the office or if it's the weekend. Or those 2 hours could be I'm going for a 2-hour walk. Whatever increments you break up your healthy structure in, make it work. Right? So you've got your wake up routines, your activity routines, the morning, the schoolwork, then you've got the lunch time, chores, exercise. They've got to get outside, walk around the block, go to the park, you know, health, you know, making sure that you're staying in line with health, the health and CDC standards with your mask and all of that stuff, but get out in some open air. Vitamin D, get some sunlight, you know, take a break, give yourself a brain break, you know, whatever it is. And, of course, scheduling some social online time with friends. If you're not able to meet up with a friend and go for a walk at the park, definitely schedule some time to text, to email, to FaceTime. I said email. Do kids email? To text, to FaceTime, whatever Instagram, whatever social time. And I find that it is very healthy, and I share this with my kids as well, but they've also shared it with me, and just put into place their own boundaries around social media time. So I know Nathaniel, he's shared this with me on his digital health checkup. It's like, this is the number of hours that in total that I need to be online. Socially. So whether it's Instagram, they don't have Facebook, And it could be just engaging and reading stuff and getting in touch or whatever. If it's a 2 hours for the day, once that time has expired, that's it. We're not going to do anything extra. If something comes up with a friend or whatever, then, of course, that's a text and a conversation, and that's fine too. But you've got to be flexible. And also, very importantly, family time and spending time together. Family time can be just one-on-one. Everybody's got a different schedule, et cetera. But I find that it's just been working wonders for me, especially lately with so many dynamic and energy shifts in my own life and my family. It just feels like heaven again. It feels so good just to be able to say, hey, you know, if a day passes by and we don't have at least one meal together or some time just being together, it's like, let's do this on Saturday. Okay, let's plan blah, blah, blah on such and such a day. So at least 4 days out of the week, there is some kind of plan. Structure does not mean rigid. Planning does not mean, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, change or move or whatever. It could just mean, let's make sure that on Saturday we spend some time together, whether it's movie time, just being in the house, checking in with each other, whatever it is. And you know your children and you know their dynamics. So if they're feeling like you're just structuring, sitting down because you heard it on a talk show or you read it someplace or, you know, it's a webinar or something, they're going to feel that. So whatever you do, make sure that you are present. It's what you really want to do, and this is just us, the two of us, the three of us, the 10 of us, whatever that looks like. So with that being said, I know that parenting and the pandemic can take a toll on us as the parents, but also it's important for us to ask for, I guess, in a way, I would say permission, but also allow our kids to understand that mom and dad are not superpowers, right? And explain to them, as much as you believe that they can understand, as much as they can comprehend, as much as they can gather, explain to them also some of your own challenges and some of the things that you're facing at work, some of the things that you're putting into place to structure your life, some of the things that you're putting into place, whether it's with your social media, your self-care, your aha moments, what am I doing now to change, how you're learning through the pandemic, how you're growing, how you're using what's going on, and you're narrowing it down to your household and yourself and still creating, this is what normal life is. So you put on a mask when you're going out in public, when you're going into a public place, etc. Okay, so you put on a mask. My children, before they walk out the house, they put on a mask. Even if they're going in the car with just me, I'm driving them to work, the mask goes on. It becomes a routine, a habit. They don't go anywhere with it. It's like I'm going out. It's almost like putting on your pants, and it's seamless. I'm going to school. You keep it on the whole time. You don't take it off unless you're having lunch. I pick him up from school. He has his mask on. Only time that mask comes off is when we walk through the door. So you need to realize that our children are more complicit. They understand, and they understand what's going on. They're really about saving other people's lives and staying as safe as they can. And we have to really help them through that, but we also have to be the example. I know they'll say to me, Mom, your mask, Mom, your mask, you know? And so the accountability back and forth with each other is very, very critical at this point. So again, as we parent through the pandemic, we have to recognize that fear and uncertainty can bring about so many mental and emotional and physical challenges with our children. And so with that being said, just really take care of yourself and take care of your families. Again, thank you for joining me on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This has been your host, Charmaine. And until next time, take care.